keep your hand high and they'll bring one to you. How many of you this past week have had the occasion to think about issues of safety? Everybody's hand goes up. That'll confuse the ushers. Okay. Last spring, I planned this teaching series on worship. Never could I have imagined that today's title would be so timely. I actually planned this way back then. Honestly, I didn't know anything was coming. The Lord obviously knew that we would need it. As we continue on in our series of worship, we come to the wonderful, liberating, life-giving truth that there is safety in worship. It's been an interesting week, hasn't it? Rumors of war abound. Up to 8 million Afghan refugees seem to be on the move. People in the streets of many countries are protesting, letting their anger boil over. Some expats from here and other places have been sent home. Other companies are considering evacuation. People are a little nervous. Some are downright scared. We have little idea of what the future holds. Some people, I've heard them say, this is the beginning of World War III. Others wonder if it's the beginning of the end. There's a lot of emotion, a lot of thought, a lot of feeling right underneath the surface of human hearts today. Well, in the midst of that this morning, I have some absolutely fantastic news. Take your little card and go down to the last verse, right at the bottom, Proverbs 18:10. Read it out with me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are what? That's what we're going to look at this morning. Now, I must admit, honest to goodness, I had this passage picked out and this sermon theme planned way back last spring. I never realized that the word tower would be so emotionally laden. Never could any of us have imagined that two of the tallest business towers in the world would completely disappear from New York skyline, killing thousands of people from more than 80 countries. Never could we have dreamed that the security of U.S. financial and military strongholds could be breached. But it happened. In sharp contrast to recent events, our text today simply states, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. As I looked at the scripture on this theme of tower, there's a number of stories about towers. And the first one in the Bible and the last one in the Bible form a tower sandwich to this passage we're going to look at this morning. The first story in the Bible about a tower is found in Genesis 11, and in verse 4, it says these words. Let me back up and say it's the story of the Tower of Babel. The ancient people were wanting to build a tower because of pride and a desire for security. Listen to their words. They said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." Now, I'm sure there's many reasons why people build towers or why we like towers. Quite often there's a similar mixture of pride and a sense of security. In a tower, you feel high, you feel grand, you feel lofty, you even feel superior. You look down at the people on the street and they look like bugs way down there. In a tower, you feel secure, away from the hassle and trouble of life on the street. You can literally look down on people and you can look away from problems. Pride and false security. They like to live in towers. They did back in the Tower of Babel's time, and they do today. Now, you know as well as I do that all towers are not made with brick and steel and concrete. The towers we build for ourselves are often made out of items that are immaterial. We build our towers with money, or with fashion, with social status or occupation, with education or philosophy, with travel experience or looks or personal abilities. Now, whatever the tower of our making, dear friends, you probably notice that as you construct that tower, you feel a measure of pride. And you go, as you go into that tower, you feel a measure of security. Unfortunately, like the Tower of Babel, these towers never really get completed. The one who builds a financial tower always wants it to be higher. The woman who perfects her beauty finds a lump or grows old. The one who is brilliant comes face to face with the unexplainable. The sports hero is overtaken by somebody faster or better. Things happen in life to confuse us, to confound us, to throw us off balance, to separate us from loved ones, and to undermine our carefully planned security. And then that monument to our own greatness that we've been building and that we hoped others would build is abandoned by other people that we thought would stay loyal to us. No matter what the circumstances, we're left feeling quite vulnerable again. The last tower story in Scripture is about a tower of Siloam that Jesus referred to. It collapsed, killing 18 people around it. After the tragedy, the self-righteous religious people were saying it was God's judgment on those 18 people. You can almost hear them saying, they must have had sin in their lives. That was their response. In Luke 13, verses 4 and 5, Jesus asked, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? Do you think that the people in the towers in New York really had it coming to them because they were worse than anybody else, worse than you, worse than me? Jesus said, no, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And that day, 18 families and many friends were grieving the loss of loved ones, while others were saying under their breath, serves them right. They got what's coming to them. These uncaring folks had built their own towers. Oh, they weren't towers of money, and they weren't towers of clothes or towers that the other unrighteous people were building. No, the towers they had were the towers of self-righteousness. They thought they were better, more righteous, more special. And they stood pretty tall in their towers. They even felt secure in them. But Jesus indicated that their towers were also coming down. Dear friends, what do you run to in your life for security? Where do you draw your security from? What tower in your life brings you your greatest sense of personal pride? Your greatest sense of personal accomplishment? What do you spend your life trying so hard to build, so hard to accomplish, to achieve, to obtain, to acquire? Whatever it is, when that tower is complete and you stand proud and secure, dear friends, beware. Beware. Like the World Trade Center, all human towers of power and strength can and will be brought down. God never intended our sense of well-being and our security to come from anything other than Himself. And that's why sometimes God will allow things in our life to collapse. That's why He will allow our bodies to decay. That's why He will allow trouble to assault us on every side. Because when we get to the place in life where all we have left is God, we discover that He's enough. God knows that you and I want and need safety and security. God knows that we long to have that sense of well-being in our lives. That's the way He designed us. But He knows that whenever we try to satisfy those eternal hungers with anything temporal, we will always, always, always remain hungry. Look again at our passage this morning. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Every one of us have things that threaten our security, that assault our sense of well-being, that sap our physical strength, that create fear and bring inner torment. All of us have circumstances, sooner or later, that shake the very foundations of our lives. And through the prophet Isaiah, God promised, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Please notice, God did not say that we would never experience pain and trouble. He didn't promise that His children would never have to face hardship or peril or death. Those who teach that have seriously misread the Scriptures. Throughout history and even to this day, God's people undergo horrific trials and devastating losses. But what God did promise was that none of these missiles would hurt us if we are dwelling in the tower of His security. Do you hear that? It doesn't matter how devastating the events of this life come. It doesn't matter how tough the world shakes. It doesn't matter how much falls around us. God says, if you are in me, you are safe. Safe in the ultimate, safe in the total sense of the word. Do you believe that this morning? Now you're probably wondering how in the world this relates to worship. Oh, does it ever? When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, Jesus said, "Pray after this manner." In the rabbinical way back then, He basically was meaning, pray according to these categories. I don't know if you ever looked at the Lord's Prayer that way, but that's basically what it is. It's a whole series of categories in which to pray, or pray through. And He said, when you pray, pray according to these categories. Our Father in heaven, that deals with our relationship to Him. It's not a Him out there and me here. He meant it to be an intimate relationship of Father-Child. And we have that experience through Christ our Lord. Our Father in heaven. And then He moves to, hallowed be your name. How many of you have ever prayed that prayer? The Lord's Prayer. You've ever prayed that? How many of you have ever taken time to hallow His name? Not as many hands. We say it, hallowed be your name. No, 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 He says, do it. Hallow His name. You say, what does that mean? What does it mean? To hallow means to sanctify or to set apart for special use. It means to honor or to declare worthy of praise or to adore or to give a compliment. That's what it means. And we are to hallow, to honor God's names. Now David knew this in Psalm 100 verse 4. He said, enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His holy name. David knew that. And people throughout the centuries have known that. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way, hallow His name. Why does God want us to hallow and praise His name? I believe that knowing the names of God enables us to recognize who He really is and therefore to understand Him. Hallowing His name or praising His name connects us, therefore, to all the resources of His being as revealed in His names. Throughout Scripture, God has revealed Himself in various names. Take your card this morning, and I want you to look at them. I've got this laminated for you, not just to throw in the garbage this afternoon. This may become one of the most precious possessions you've ever received in your life as you realize what is contained in the names of God. His name Elohim means God our Creator. And in that name, it reveals His incredible power, the mystery of His plurality, and His unstoppable purpose. Those are wrapped up in His name of Elohim. The name Elroy, God who sees, means
his omniscience. He knows everything. It also refers to his compassion. El Elyon, the Most High God, reveals his unequaled majesty and his absolute control. El Olam, the everlasting God, speaks of his eternity. He is not bound by time like you and I are. He's at the beginning and at the end and all the way present in between, all at the same time. He's El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. It speaks of his benevolence. It speaks of his nourishment, his satisfaction, and his satisfying pleasure to those of his children. Jehovah, or Yahweh, means Lord. I am that I am. Speaks of his immutability, his unchangeableness. He is always the same. Always, always, always. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, speaks of his absolute victory in battle. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, speaks of him being the creator of everything, the owner of everything, the supplier of everything. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd, speaks of him being the one who satisfies our soul and who guides us according to his plan. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there, his omnipresence, he is everywhere present. He is here, he's in America, he's in Afghanistan, he's at your house right now, even though you're not there. He's here, he's everywhere. He's Jehovah Shammah, he's Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord, my righteousness. He is the one who becomes holiness for me, who enables me to live without sin. He's Jehovah Tzidkenu. He's also Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies me, the Lord who purifies me, who enables us to live the way he calls us to. He's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. He's the ultimate minister of the interior. He is the one who brings his peace to bear upon our soul. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He's the Lord of all life, the Lord of all wholeness, and he's able to touch instantaneously or progressively or many different ways to bring about his healing and wholeness in our lives. He's Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. He is sovereign over all peoples, over all angelic hosts, over all countries, over all nations, over all powers. He and he alone is Jehovah Sabaoth. He is Yeshua, Jesus, the Lord my Savior. He is the one true living God who came to this planet in flesh to be our deliverer from evil, our Savior from sin, our restorer completely, and the one who takes us to be with him forever. And he is Adonai, the Lord my Master. He is the master of the entire universe. This is who he is. As you review the names of God, you see his character unfold. You see the incredible resources that are there within the context of his being. Why is this important? Dear friends, listen. Our tendency as human beings is to get our eyes so earthbound and so trouble-focused that we lose perspective. We get locked into the here and now, locked into what's happening around us, and that's what we think the world consists of. Dear friends, if that's how small your world is, tuck your tail and run! For I declare to you, we have a God who is greater and bigger and broader than all of that. It's like somebody worrying themselves sick over $100 debt. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Where am I going to find the money? And they forgot that they've got $5 million in the bank. Now tell me, if you had $5 million in the bank waiting to be drawn at any time, would you lose a night's sleep over a $100 debt? Anybody? If you would, I'll make room in my counseling time, okay? Those two don't come together. The reason we worry is because we're unaware of the resources. It's exactly the same true in our relationship with God. Why are we all balled up? Why are we all constrained? Why are we falling apart? Because we don't know the God we worship. We don't know the incredible resources that are in his name and in his person. And that's why Jesus said, when you pray, come to your Father in heaven through faith in Christ, and then immediately, instantly, hallow his name and recognize who he is. Because that's where your supply is. That's where your resources are. That's where your safety and security reside. When you follow the pattern of the Lord's Prayer and begin by praising God as revealed in his name, you then realize that all the other categories of prayer simply follow through in victory. You see, before you ask for his kingdom to come, you've already rehearsed that he is El Elyon, the almighty, sovereign, ruler of the universe. It's going to happen. You're praying in cooperation with his will. before you pray for His will to be done. You've already drawn confidence from the fact that He is Elohim, the God of purpose, and the one whose purposes will not fail. Before you ask for direction, you've already obtained hope and confidence from Elohim, the everlasting God, who's already been to your future. He knows what it's like, and He knows how to lead you to get you there. Before you ask God to supply your needs, you've already recognized Him as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, and El Shaddai, the all-sufficient nourisher of His people. Before you confess any sin, you're assured that Jehovah Tzidkenu will cleanse you, and Jehovah Makedesh will make you holy. Praise God! Before you ever express your hurts, you know that it is El Roy who has already seen your circumstances and fully understands. Before you let yourself get lonely and depressed, you acknowledge Jehovah Shammah. He's there. He's with you. Before you ever come to Him hoping for a physical miracle, your faith has been strengthened by His revelation of Himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. Before you ever intercede about the problems of nations or countries, you know that He is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. All of them. I could go on and on and on. When we take time to recognize who God is, when we take time to hallow His names, when we take time to worship Him for who He is, dear friends, that's when we discover safety. That's when we discover security. That's when we discover the richest of resources of God literally pouring into our lives. It is in praise that God delivers. It is in praise that God heals and restores. It is in praise that God cleanses and empowers. It is in praise and worship that God provides, that He defeats the enemy, that He breaks down barriers, that He demolishes strongholds, and that He changes us. For it's in praise and worship that we see Him for who He really is. All heresy, all human problems ultimately have their root in a misconception of who God really is. And can I be so bold as to say that most of the problems that we face as believers, if not all of them, most of the problems that our churches face, if not all of them, have a similar root. We've got our eyes off of God, we've forgotten who He is, we've forgotten what He has in store for us, and so we run around this life worrying about our $100 debt when we don't realize all the millions. Listen to these following promises that Jesus gave us on prayer. Listen to them again with new ears in light of what we just covered. John 14, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is not just me, in Jesus' name, amen. We think that means the whole thing is all of a sudden in Jesus' name. What does Jesus mean when He says, ask it in my name? In my name. He's saying, folks, understand who I am. Are you going to go and ask $100 from somebody who you know is broke? Of course not. Are you going to go and ask God to touch your physical body if you really don't believe He's Jehovah Rapha? Of course not. Are you going to ask God for direction in your life if you really don't believe He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there, and the Elohim, the everlasting God? Of course not. You're going to run around this life worrying about your $100 debt. Completely oblivious to the fact that God is waiting, saying, oh my child, if only you knew my name. John 15, verse 16. And 16, verse 23, Jesus said, the Father will give you whatever you ask. We stop there and we say, see, it's not true. I've heard that before. What do you mean He gives whatever? I've asked all kinds of things. I never got my Mercedes. I never got the scholarship. I never got the girl I wanted to marry, the man I wanted to marry. I never got the kids I wanted. I never got this. I never... What is it saying? I will give you whatever you ask in my name, according to my character, within the boundaries of my nature and purpose. If God is saying, I'm going this way, and you come along and say, you know what, I'd like to go that way, He says, of course, come. The reason we don't get it is because we may say, in Jesus' name, amen, but what we're praying for is outside the boundaries of His name. outside the boundaries of his character, his person, his purpose, his passion. John 16, verse 24, Jesus said, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. You hear that? Anybody want joy to be complete? Jesus said, ask. Oh, you've been asking, but you haven't been asking anything in my name. Ask that. Ask within those boundaries. Ask within that context. And you will get so excited when you watch my resources flow into your life. You will get so pumped that your joy will be complete. So when you wake up tomorrow morning, dear friends, and the day lies untouched before you, and you need wisdom, and you need strength, and you need resources, and you need peace, and you see enemies of all sorts assembling against your life, enter God's presence with praise. Say, good morning, Father, Abba, Daddy, I come to you through Jesus Christ, and jump on your lap, and we're going to have a good time together this morning. And let me begin by just reminding myself who you are. You are Yahweh, Jehovah, the God who is. You are that you are that you are. You will never change. You are Elohim, the everlasting God. You were there at the beginning. You're there at the end. You're there now. Thank you, God, that I don't have to worry about whether or not you're there this morning. And you're also Jehovah Shammah, the God who is here. Bless you, Lord. Thank you that you're with me in this bed before I even crawl out. You're here. Thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom. The world out there is a rough place right now, Lord, but you are Jehovah Shalom. You are Jehovah my peace. You are the one who can settle my concerns and bring peace to this troubled soul. Thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals me. Lord, you know the pains in my life. You know the physical pain. You know the pain in my soul. You know the pain in my family. You know the pain at work. You know the pain in here and there and whatever. Oh, God, I need your healing, but I come to you as Jehovah Rapha. You promised. You've gone on record as saying you are the Lord who heals me. Praise you. Bless you. And on and on and on. Take time. Take time to recognize who it is that you're coming to. Give him your worship. Give him your praise. Hallow his name. Set it apart and worship him. And while you do that, as you do that, dear friends, honestly, the rest of life is simply picking up the plunder. The rest of your day is simply enjoying the benefits of realizing who's backing you. The rest of life is one that is lived in safety. Not the kind that comes from concrete towers. Not the kind that come from man's ability to put up security. But the safety . Is that the kind of safety your heart longs for today? It's available. Free for the taking. The name of the Lord, say it with me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Please pray with me. Father, we confess to you that we do get so earthbound in our focus. We get so wrapped up in the circumstances and the hassle and the pain and the loss of this life. And it is great. You know that as well as we do. But Lord, thank you that that is not the end. Thank you that we can run into you this morning, discover afresh who you are, and worship you for who you are. And as we do, Lord, we can draw from the resources that are contained in your Lord, you know the need of every life here this morning. You know how each of us need you in one or more ways. And we pray, oh God, that as we run into you even this morning, that we would find that safety that you said is ours. In Christ, in God himself.